G'day, and thank you for finding Right Country, Right Fire, our podcast about how Indigenous people use fire to care for country.
You got to do the right thing by country, and you've got to support that country, and otherwise you don't have identity, and you don't have a healthy landscape. You can't survive.
It's really an amazing thing to see the empowerment of Indigenous people and to show what they know while they're out on country practicing their knowledge and doing their cultural practice. And so it's really been an incredible journey.
Putting the right fire into the right environment at the right time of the year. And it's like a medicine for earth.
Trees tell us what should be living here. So that bush tuckum knowledge and medicine knowledge is crucial because it tells us what this country is supposed to look like.
Plants talk to each other underground. So, you know, you get your parents' trees and they're talking to their saplings and, you know, and they got that underground support as well, like an NBN network underground. And fire is the main thing that supports all that as well, proper traditional burning.
This is episode 4 of Right Country, Right Fire. If you haven't heard the earlier episodes, download them now from wherever you get your podcasts or from capeyorknrm.com.au. For the past decade, traditional Indigenous fire practice has been making a comeback. It goes back tens of thousands of years and never entirely went away. But the early European settlers, well, they certainly discouraged it. Indigenous people know that the right fire, in the right place, at the right time, reduces invasive species and wildfires and encourages food plants and animals. The revival of cultural burning began on Cape York Peninsula in the 90s and noughties. Now, there are Indigenous fire practitioners all over Australia. You can meet them and learn about traditional cultural burning at the annual National Indigenous Fire Workshop.
Yolanda, welcome everyone.
I'm very proud to be standing here today and talking on country and embracing this wonderful opportunity we have as fire practitioners. It's a very special moment. It makes us very proud that we can welcome you to our country and to share that knowledge.
Trying to help everybody out to go back to traditional burning and keep their land back the way it used to be. And yeah, they're the heart of all this what's happening down here now. So yeah, it's a privilege of we coming down here to represent our grandfathers. And
this year, 2019, the National Indigenous Fire Workshop is in the first week of June, hosted by the Yorta Yorta people near Barma on the New South Wales-Victorian border. Go to firesticks.org.au for details and bookings. Indigenous fire practice is based on ancient knowledge and culture, but contemporary science proves its effectiveness. Now, science and traditional knowledge, well, they're very different ways of knowing, and the two approaches are still learning to work together. But there is encouraging progress. So, meet an Indigenous fire practitioner who works for a government agency, where his traditional knowledge meets contemporary land management and fire control.
My name's Dean Freeman. I'm a Wiradjuri man from Brungal Aboriginal Reserve in New South Wales. I'm a Aboriginal Cultural Fire Officer. I work for ACT Parks and Conservation Service.
So you work right at that place where Indigenous fire and more modern practices meet. That must be pretty interesting territory.
It is very interesting. It's a bit scary thinking about some of the things that we're trying to do and implement. As people are probably aware, these agencies have been going for over 150 years, so they're sort of setting their ways a little bit. So what we're trying to introduce here is something totally different to the fire regimes they have today. So yeah, it is a little bit difficult, a little bit scary in places. Like what I'm actually doing is trying to introduce ancient techniques into a modern world. So you can imagine some of the difficulties we might have sometimes.
Because I guess that approach to bureaucracy is, let's not create risk. That means don't light a fire. But you're there telling them that's the best thing you could do right now in some circumstances. So exactly what happens when you talk about that?
Yeah, so it's just sort of describing the fire itself and what we actually put in the ground. As most people are aware, when agencies go out and do a hazard reduction or they go back to combat a fire with a back burn or something, it's pretty full on with drip torch, a lot of live dry fuels, exploding, that sort of stuff, and in different areas. So what I'm actually trying to do is implement what we're calling a cultural burn, which is putting the right fire into the right environment at the right time of the year. And, you know, you can imagine after 150 years of these agencies being in place, so there is a bit of scepticism, which is fine, but all we're asking is sort of like come along and witness these and we'll actually prove that these work.
See, they go about it to, what do they call it, hazard reduction, fuel load, get rid of the fuel load. But you're coming at it from the entirely opposite direction, aren't you?
Totally different, totally different. We do it for, a bit of fuel reduction, but we also do it so the land can revive itself and it basically cures itself with, if you do put a bit of fire on the ground in certain places, and it's like a medicine for earth. So you're getting rid of the dead stuff, the stuff that's, you know, slowing you down, and the stuff that's sort of pulling you back a little bit. So it's pretty similar in the environment. When you put a bit of fire on the ground, then that fire will go through and get the dead bits. It'll pick out the bits that are not too good or not alive. And then, you know, when we complete a burn, there's, no, most of the time there's 50-50 of dead and live stuff still. Where I've been involved with cultural, with hazard reduction burns, and they sort of go for a 30-70%. So with us, we don't go for a percentage at all. We basically let the fire do the work, and it heals itself as it's going through the land.
Have you always had this interest in the indigenous way of burning, the cultural burning, or you sort of come onto it, you know, because it's had a bit of a revival lately? So where do you fit in that?
Yeah, well, we've always, Aboriginal people are always putting forward their land management practices, and this is one of them. So yeah, Aboriginal people have been putting it forward. My background, I've been doing hazard reduction burns for the last 20 years. So my idea of fire was totally different. And then I'd actually went up to Woodjil in 2016 and listened to Victor and just got the bug, basically. So you're going back home, and what you're actually trying to do is heal country and get it back to what it was back in the day, I suppose, where we didn't have we probably had a few wildfires, but then that wildfire would probably run into an area that had a cultural burn and it would die down. So it's like preparing it for a wildfire. Yeah.
The trip to Cape York must have been a big thing for you. What was it like?
Totally amazing. I can't sort of describe how it feels. Just, you know, a switch comes on in you, a light comes on, and basically a flame ignites to give you some energy, basically, to go along and implement this stuff into your country, and so you can start healing it. And as we know, if country is healed, then the people who are on country also get healed. We look at the country today, it's, you know, not learnt this up north, that a lot of the country is basically upside down with the canopy. There's not enough in the canopy to stop the sun coming through and drying out the ground, whereas a lot of the vegetation today is on the ground. So, you know, you don't get that sun coming through and hitting the plants when they need it. And sometimes you don't even get, you might not get air or oxygen through some of those areas. It's so thick and it just chokes itself out, basically. So going up to Woodjil was certainly the best thing for me to get back into cultural burning. It's just because of the people who were there had been taught by people who had been doing it all their lives. So you know that this works. It's a proven method with Victor and the people who have taught him, and especially with the two uncles who had actually taught him. You know, they'd been doing it for at least 60, 65 years, and that you have to trust that that has been working, you know, and these methods have been in place for 60,000 years.
Not long after you go to Cape York, they came to you. Yes. This week. They came through your country and you welcomed them. What was that like?
Again, you know, I get a bit emotional when this sort of stuff happens. I haven't got the words for it to explain it. A lot of people just see how you react to it. And you see that here with a lot of people. 2 days ago, people were here like, oh, yeah, what's it going to be like and how's it going? Now people are sort of walking on air. People are getting involved in the kind of conversations. And a few people who are, you might not have seen talk so much before, they have things to say. You know, this is the idea. The idea here is to share the information that we have so we can improve country and to have it down south. Yeah, because a lot of the people down south here have missed out on that. A lot of them have been going up north to Cape York when they have the fire workshop. But now that it's come down here, you can see from the interest here, there are so many people here from New South, Victoria, Queensland and Tasmania, government agencies. So there is an interest in that now. A lot of areas are doing their cultural burns and also doing what they're calling cool burns. So that's when the Aboriginal people are generally not involved. But again, a cool burn is something where the flame height doesn't get over like a metre or something like that and stays on the ground without getting into the canopy.
So it's consistent with the idea of...
Yeah, it's very consistent. And as a few of the boys here have learnt over the years, if you can get rid of those ladder fuels, you know, that don't belong in that area, then there's not a lot of chance of those fires getting into the canopy. And once the canopy is sort of burnt and wrecked, then you don't have anything basically to stop the heat of the sun just hitting the ground constantly every day, and that's when it starts to dry out. It'll harden up and then you'll lose your plants, then you lose your dew, and it's basically as hard as concrete, some of the ground there. And that's very hard to deal with and manage.
There's a lot to learn, isn't there?
There is. It's like I've been doing this for 20 years. I've done mostly hazard reduction stuff here. But coming here, I'm just the tip of the iceberg, basically. It's sort of like a pinhead going into a bunya tree or something like that, because it branches out so much. There's so many different directions and avenues. But you know that it's good. You know, you feel good about what you're actually doing. And that in itself, it's a flow-on effect. You know, I brought my two daughters here today, and just watching them get amongst it, talking to, they haven't seen this many Aboriginal people together at once, even that was an eye-opener. But they're even getting around and seeing all this different stuff going on, and it's certainly opened their eyes up, and hopefully that's given them a little bit to continue along also.
It's a pleasure to speak to you, Dean. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much.
Dean Freeman, a Wiradjuri man. He's the Aboriginal Cultural Fire Officer with ACT Parks and Conservation Service. We met Dean at the 2018 National Indigenous Fire Workshop, and the next one is in the first week of June 2019, near Barmer on the New South Wales-Victorian border. It's a great opportunity to learn about Indigenous fire practice. There's always opportunities for cultural exchange and some great recreational activities.
Next contestant is Rangi Rangai from Queensland.
This is the spear throwing competition, and it's always hotly contested.
Looks like we got a few people who go hungry tonight. Sorry, we have alternator Ollie Costello from New South Wales.
Oh, yeah, give him a go.
And you can learn a dance.
When you hear me go like that, you can go around in a circle.
Lots to do at the next National Indigenous Fire Workshop, first week of June 2019, near Barmer on the New South Wales-Victorian border, hosted by the Yorta Yorta people. Go to firesticks.org.au for details and bookings. Right Country, Right Fire is a podcast by Firesticks Alliance Indigenous Corporation, Moolong, and the Importance of Campfires, supported by Cape York Natural Resource Management. You can find all our episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you can find us at firesticks.org.au and capeyorknrm.com.au. I'm Richard Dinnan, and I'll catch you next time on Right Country, Right Fire.